Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Welcome, welcome to Dory Monson's Big Show. Brandi Cruz filling in for the great Dory Monson. I will try my best. Always love being with you guys. Always love hearing from you guys while I'm here. 888-973-CAIRO. 888-973-CAIRO for the text line. You know, Nicole, I'd like to have access to the text line even when I'm not filling in. I just want to see what people are saying to Dory Monson. Can I have access at home?
Well, sure. You're an employee, right?
I am an employee, technically. That's the only way I can be here. Also, we'll talk about this coming up in the Fastest 15, but Jay Leno, did you see this? He got in some sort of, you know, he loves his cars, right? And apparently he was working on a car and his face has been badly burned, like he's okay.
But scary.
Yeah, I think there's a little, this is just initial information. So we want to get a little more information and we'll talk about it coming up in the Fastest 15. All right, let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
So as you heard there in the newscast, Amazon expected to lay off thousands of employees. And this seems as if it has been a familiar thread with tech companies. And I think it also has a lot of people worried. I mean, in our region, one of the reasons our economy is as resilient as it is because of these big tech companies. I mean, I know that in Seattle, they really like to vilify Amazon and act as if Amazon is the reason that Seattle has all sorts of problems. But the truth is, Amazon kept our economy pretty dang strong during the pandemic. And I think it's like, you know, we sometimes look a gift horse in the mouth. And now you're seeing, you know, we have several tech companies that have come out and talked about layoffs. Aaron?
Yes.
So talk to me a little bit. You spoke to GeekWire.
Yeah.
And they expect, again, these layoffs to be in what aspects of the workforce?
So we talked about this last week, actually. The Wall Street Journal was sort of the first to come out and prepare us for this announcement this week, saying the layoffs would likely happen in the unprofitable divisions of the company. And there aren't many.
Okay.
I mean, Amazon is crushing it, as we know. But the devices department, so the people in charge of Alexa, for instance, apparently that division is not profitable at the moment. It's retail division, which I'm kind of surprised about, and also human resources. We know the corporate headquarters are in downtown Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Human resources, that's where they're stationed. So these job cuts will likely affect some of the workers here in our area. We don't know how many. We do know corporate-wide, 10,000 jobs is what the estimate right now is, according to the New York Times. So that would represent about 3%.
Which is pretty astounding when you think that,
right?
10,000 employees,
incredible,
is 3% of your workforce.
The vast majority of the workforce are, you know, the hourly employees who work in the warehouses and the distribution centers. But as Todd Bishop at GeekWire says, this is going to be a big impact here.
We've already seen housing prices retreat. So in many respects, this will have a real impact on people around the region, whether or not they work for the company.
It's just, it's the whole economic picture, yeah, right? Amazon drives a lot of the local economy. If jobs go, things happen.
Yeah, and that was part of the conversation with Boeing as well. But we've also seen Microsoft make some cuts.
Right.
And then Twitter. And I will say, you know, when Elon Musk took over Twitter and then started laying people off, I realized that there were some more implications there. But I think, you know, he's been vilified for laying people off. And then you see these other tech companies laying people off, too. But people look at that a little bit differently.
Yeah.
I don't want to see anybody lose their job. But I do. If you have a sector that's not profitable, you are a business. I mean, they're not a charity. So perhaps they grew a little bit big. But it'll be interesting to see the impact that this has on the economy, like Todd said, housing market, et cetera. But it's not a good indicator. Right. Because as I was saying, you know, these are the companies that keep this state thriving economically. Now, I'll take issue with how state lawmakers spend some of the fruits of that. I think we could be doing better economically, given the condition that we're in with some of these companies being here. But yeah, I mean, they are not infallible. And I also think that cities need to stop taking them for granted. Aaron, thank you, by the way, for those details. That's incredibly helpful. So yeah, Amazon planning to lay off some of its employees and some of its less profitable divisions. Following, you know, Microsoft's announcement that they had some job cuts, and then of course Twitter. But Twitter layoffs are only because Elon Musk bad, you know, definitely not because the tech sector as a whole is cutting jobs. And I'm worried about what's ahead. I'm really worried about what's ahead. You know, I think we're going to be in a tough time economically until at least 2024. And to be frank, I don't think Democrats are the ones that are going to be able to solve it, because in large part, they contributed to the situation that we're in. But I also think now, after Republicans just did terribly on Tuesday, that they're not going to be inclined to help Biden try to turn the economy around, because they're going to be like, well, you know, this is your bed. You're going to lay in it until 2024. And then we're going to try to win elections, because everything is about winning elections these days. On a similar note to Amazon, Jeff Bezos, who's wearing a cowboy hat a lot lately. Did you notice that, Nicole? Is that his new thing? Has he always been a cowboy hat wearer?
I'm not sure. Maybe that came with his girlfriend. I think they're still just boyfriend, girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe that came with her. I don't know.
Well, he's also taken on a new hobby, not just wearing a cowboy hat, not just playing cowboy, but donating it to charity. So apparently, you know, Jeff Bezos has always been vilified, and I am not on the vilified Jeff Bezos train. People being rich just doesn't inherently bother me. I never understood, like, the people who are like, you're rich, I hate you. And I'm like, no, you're rich. You probably, in most cases, earned it. I think there are some rich people who very much didn't earn it, like family money and stuff. But Jeff Bezos has a remarkable American story. And so I never got the vilification of Jeff Bezos. Is Amazon perfect? No, but we just talked about the size of its global workforce. Any company that has that many employees is going to encounter some problems. But Jeff Bezos is announcing that he plans to give away the majority of his fortune during his lifetime. This follows his ex-wife, Mackenzie Bezos, who there's a giving pledge that was started up by like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, where they said, OK, us super rich billionaires, we're going to make a pledge to give away a majority of our fortune to charity.
What else are you going to do with it, really?
Well,
it's so much money.
It's so much money.
I don't
money.
Know how you could spend it.
And so I think it's interesting that so Jeff Bezos and Mackenzie Bezos get a divorce, right? And Mackenzie Bezos ends up being, I think, overnight, like the richest woman in the world or the second richest woman in the world or something. And she marries that teacher. They together give away just a bunch of money. I think they already are divorced, though, aren't they?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And so while she was giving away this money that she got in the divorce, people were piling on to Jeff Bezos about, oh, well, you're not giving away money and your ex-wife is a better person than you, XYZ. But now he says that he is going to. Well, and the timing of this is interesting because he comes out apparently. This interview had just aired a couple hours before these reports came out that Amazon is cutting jobs. So Jeff Bezos comes out in this interview, says he's going to give away the bulk of his fortune during his lifetime. And then Amazon says it's going to cut all these jobs. But, you know, Jeff Bezos is not the CEO of Amazon anymore. And I think some people forget that. That's Andy Jassy, who lives here in Seattle. But so Bezos right now, he is the fourth richest person in the world. He's been he used to be number one, but he's fallen a few paces back. But he says that he is going to focus his philanthropy on fighting climate change and supporting those who seek to unify people.
Huh. But did you see he gave $100 million of that to Dolly Parton, which I think was a great choice to begin with?
I didn't see that. I love Dolly Parton.
Yeah, she's the first recipient of his.
Oh, I didn't see he'd given it out yet.
Yeah, I think he's calling it the Courage and Civility Award.
I like that.
And
I
so she gets to take
idea.
This $100 million and do what she wants with it.
So, Jeff, I'm just saying, I have, since 2016, dedicated my career to bridging political divides. It's what I do every single day for a living. Listen to the Undivided podcast if you haven't already. So, Jeff, I mean, throw your girl a couple mil.
You'll spend it wisely.
If you're giving it to people who seek to unify, I mean, am I not the best recipient for that, Jeffrey?
Mr.
Bezos.
That's a great idea.
If somebody is listening, try to get this to Jeff Bezos. Help us grow our movement to give common sense a comeback. Heck, throw Dory Monson a couple mil too.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know if Dory's the unifier in chief, but
it's for you to spend on you know, charities and efforts that you deem.
I think that's great. I just remember, I never am a fan of me trying to tell somebody else what to do with their money.
No.
I think it's ridiculous. And I remember when, was it Paul Allen, when he died? Was it, I think that's who it was, where he was criticized by some blogger in town for, oh, well, he didn't donate enough of his money during his lifetime. As if that negates everything he did with his life.
Well, and you don't know how long you're going to live. So as long as it's set up in your will to go to the correct recipients or the recipients that you care deeply about. And he gave a lot. He gave a lot. And so I don't know how you can be the judger of that.
Right. And I just and I remember there was a story about he was at some charity event and he, during the event, donated $500,000. And there's this report that people in the room sighed because $500,000 for Jeff Bezos was nothing. I'm like, it's $500,000. Like, don't complain about it. Am I wrong? That's how I feel about this. It's like, I'm not going to tell some rich guy who made that money how much he should give to charity.
No, I don't think you're wrong about that. I don't think anybody's in the place to judge these things.
Jeff Bezos, do you see how I'm trying to bring people together to unify, you might say? And so I feel as if it's just another example of why I'm worthy of some
courageous
of this.
Of you.
I'm courageous, humble, you know, all of those things. So Jeff Bezos, just keep me in mind, okay, Jeffrey? All right, up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Big Local.
We've been talking a lot about the crime crisis and the stolen vehicle crisis. And yes, it is a crisis. Since the legislature passed in 2021 a series of quote unquote police reforms, one of them being a law that makes it nearly impossible for police to pursue suspects or to pursue people suspected of stealing a vehicle, driving a stolen vehicle. And you know, you have some people and the folks who back that bill who say, well, that's essentially a property crime. We don't want police to engage in a high speed pursuit over a property crime. You know, we'll find that vehicle somewhere else, but that's what insurance is for. But I think we know, those of us who are on Team Sanity, are very aware that individuals who steal vehicles often do that to carry out another crime. They do it as part of a crime spree. It's not this characterization that it's like some 13-year-old kids who stole their neighbor's car out of their garage and are taking it on a joyride is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So we have an example of that this weekend. This is a horrifying story. So this 74-year-old woman, she's minding her own business. And she's on the interstate and she's involved in a multi-car collision. So I think it was like four vehicles ultimately involved in this. This is in Kent on northbound I-5. So all of a sudden, this guy in a white car, he's driving erratically. He struck a car in the HOV lane, loses control, and all these cars get jumbled up in it. So this 74-year-old woman is sitting there. She unlocks her door because she sees this guy coming toward her and she thinks, oh, he's coming to help me. So I'm just trying to put myself in this 74-year-old's position. So she unlocks the door. And what does he do? He pulls her out of the car, pushes her toward traffic, pushes her in the direction of traffic on I-5, gets in her car and flees. And surprise, surprise, the white vehicle that suspect crashed in the HOV lane was a stolen vehicle. And so when he crashes a stolen vehicle, hits four cars in the process, he goes up to a 74-year-old woman, yanks her out of the car, throws her towards traffic, gets in her car and leaves. State Patrol is still investigating that incident, still trying to find this guy. In another incident, this is just, what in the world? So, 9-year-old boy was shot after a road rage incident. Witness tells Cairo 7 what happened. Oh, Nicole, I'm not
like
getting
an
audio.
Andrew thing. Andrew with her computer on.
Hold on. Okay, Andrew.
He jumps out and goes over to this other car, and it looked like he was fighting with the guy. And then he goes running back to his vehicle, and I hear a pop. And then the Mustang pulls out and just whips around the corner.
Yeah. So the witness says he wishes he could have done more to help.
I'm sorry that I wasn't able to do more for the dad. But yeah, I mean, it's sad.
So what happened is when the driver after this road rage incident of the blue Mustang gets out, shoots into the Dodge Durango, didn't hit the driver, hit a 9-year-old child. Once in the mouth, once in the chest. 9-year-old kid, because of some stupid road rage incident, Thankfully, that 9-year-old is going to be okay. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Renton woman who is nearby says she jumped in to help.
Even if the person didn't know there was a kid inside, who does that in this age?
Yeah, who does that? She hopes the suspect turns himself in.
Own up to it and turn yourself in, because it'll go a lot easier than them chasing you down, and they will find him.
And they are looking for him. Coming up at 12:30, Nicole, I think, we're going to have Trooper Rick Johnson with the Washington State Patrol and to talk about these two incidents, but also what the heck is going on our roadways. You got road rage, stolen vehicles, all of this stuff happening. And look, I know that I'm going to try, but I doubt Trooper Rick Johnson will pin it on politicians and pin it on lawmakers. But I've been saying, Dory's been saying on this show for a long time, the idea that you could put so many restrictions on police to pursue a stolen vehicle and treat it as a property crime and have no awareness whatsoever, no self-awareness whatsoever about all the other issues that are tied to people who steal. Whether you steal them, you get a lot of stolen vehicles in the South End for drive-by shootings. Well, you know, what other reason is there to steal a vehicle other than you don't want to be seen in your vehicle, in your flight from justice? You know, these aren't people stealing vehicles to go on joyrides. You know, and I, anecdotally, I think that there has been, at least it seems like in the news, an increase in road rage incidents as well. But I think that's just part of the degradation of law and order that we're seeing, generally speaking, that you could have someone who feels like, oh, this person wronged me on the freeway. I'm going to get out and fire two rounds into their vehicle. Like, I don't care if there's kids in there. It doesn't matter to me. And so I think you're seeing this total disrespect for law and order. And heck, why wouldn't the criminals, you know, why? Well, they're not being held accountable for anything. You've got lawmakers in Olympia who are more interested in tying the hands of police than dealing with the rampant violent crime in their own communities. So, of course, the criminals are like, oh, great. Lawmakers are on our side. They're sure not on the side of the police. So, again, we're going to have Trooper Rick Johnson with the Washington State Patrol join us coming up after the news break just to talk about what the heck is going on here. And really quickly, I think we got like 30 seconds left. One more in the big lead.
The big lead update.
We're going to talk more about this in the show because we don't have a ton of time for it here in the big lead. Joe Kent. Nicole, are you surprised he lost? I don't think he's conceded yet.
I think that he did.
Did he come out? He was standing firm.
It was official. But am I surprised? No.
Me either. I told Jason Rance I thought he would lose, and Jason told me I was wrong.
I was hoping I was wrong. But
look, he's not the kind of candidate that I particularly prefer, but I just think that the Republican Party needs to get serious if it wants to win elections, and it cannot have this fiercely divided party and expect to win. There were a lot of Republicans in the third, moderate Republicans, who did not like to see the way Jamie Herrera Butler was thrown to the curb because she has, you know, all this long track record of conservative values, conservative voting. She voted her conscience to impeach Donald Trump, and then the party's like, got that wing of the party is like, well, you're done, you're toast, and they lost a congressional seat over it. Republicans only have 2 seats in Congress in Washington State.
But do you really think that he lost just because of that? Because
yes.
I mean,
part of it.
Most people over there, you vote R or you vote D, right? So I just feel like not enough got out to vote, not enough were worried about it, not enough for, because I don't think it was, I don't like Joe Kent because I don't think he's an unlikable person.
You know why I do think that's why it was? Tiffany Smiley won in the 3rd Congressional District. Mm-hmm. So explain that. How does Tiffany Smiley win in the 3rd Congressional District and Joe Kent loses in the 3rd Congressional District? We're talking vote for vote there.
Yeah.
There's a reason he lost, and there's a reason that Trump Republicans underperformed. And I think part of it is you had a segment of the Republican base that said, no, like Jamie Herrera Butler was our person. You guys pushed her aside because of this one vote. And I think they did a protest vote.
I think they might. Well, yeah, I also think that he was running against somebody that was fairly, like, she's not a politician, and I think that that also gains a lot of votes, not running against a politician.
We'll talk about that more coming up in the show, because I have so many thoughts to share on that, and that has been your big lead.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Like I said, coming up, Trooper Rick Johnson, the Washington State Patrol, he's going to join us from vacation, no less. That's how much he cares about public safety, to talk about the craziness happening on the roadways. Stick around, Brandi Cruz in for Dory Monson. Brandi Candy Cruz in for Dory Monson on this Monday afternoon. You know, Aaron, I was defending Jeff Bezos, and then I heard him bemoan how difficult it is to give away.
It's a lot of money to give
millions
away.
Millions of dollars.
Seems like a big effort.
I guess. Yeah. I'm sure he will manage.
I'm sure.
In the big lead, we're talking about another violent weekend on our roadways where apparently, you know, we're seeing just a ton of this crime crisis manifest itself. There were a couple incidents in particular, a carjacking involving a 74-year-old woman who was, like, pushed into traffic. Thankfully, she's okay. A road rage incident involving a 9-year-old boy who ended up being shot as a result, who was just an innocent in the car. And so joining us on the Dory Monson Show is Trooper Rick Johnson with the Washington State Patrol to talk a little bit about the details of these incidents and what's going on. Rick, thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
I guess my question is, what's wrong with people?
Well, I would like to be able to answer that. It's just, you know, it's alarming to us. As many shootings as we've had and you know, the carjacking from the weekend, it's just, you know, it's sad, especially, you know, the one where the 9-year-old was shot.
Well, let's first talk about the carjacking incident before we get to the 9-year-old, which is a horrible story. So this was like kind of a unfortunate sequence of events. So take me through this. The suspect is traveling in a car, crashes, right? And then correct. Take me through what happened from there.
Well, the vehicle was driving apparently erratically, ended up causing a 4-car collision. And this nice 74-year-old lady was involved in it, and she observed him walking up to her car. She thought he was there to help her, and she unlocked her doors. He opened the door, essentially drug her out of the car, and then took off in her car. Thankfully, there's no major injuries. He pushed her kind of toward traffic, apparently, is what the detective said, but, you know, thankfully it didn't end worse than what it was.
Yeah, I mean, is she okay?
Yes.
So was the car he was traveling in when he first crashed stolen?
Yes, it was stolen out of Lakewood. I'm not sure the exact time prior to the collision, but yes, that was stolen out of Lakewood. And then we recovered the 74-year-old Subaru yesterday early afternoon in Federal Way.
And what is the status of trying to track the suspect down?
Oh, we're still tracking. The car is being processed, obviously, for fingerprints and other evidence, and very, very active investigation.
Quickly, I want to talk about a couple more broad things, but the 9-year-old. So there's a road rage incident, is my understanding. Shots are fired. A 9-year-old is hit. Thankfully, it sounds like the 9-year-old's going to live, but take us through that sequence of events.
Well, we're still trying to get information from the public, and I put that press release out. We want anybody that observed these vehicles prior to, just trying to get kind of a sequence of events. But there, northbound 167, right near Grady Way is where shots were fired. And, you know, horrifically, the 9-year-old was struck. And thankfully, my last information was that they're in stable condition. And then the vehicle fled on Grady Way. And we just want anyone that has any information on this to call us, and that is also a very active investigation. You know, they're still gathering information to try to, you know, make this case progress so we can find this person that did this.
Yeah, it's a dark blue Mustang. The driver of a dark blue Mustang shot into a Dodge Durango.
Correct.
And that's right in front of the Buick dealership there on...
So, yeah. If anybody's listening, even if you think you have information that doesn't really mean anything, it may. So we just want anybody and everybody to call in that may have information on this.
You know, we talk a lot about like the increase in stolen cars. And I think this incident with the 74-year-old woman is a good example of, in my opinion, I don't have to push this opinion on you, but when you steal a car, it's not just like some teenager usually who's going to steal it and go joyride around. So when you encounter individuals who are driving stolen vehicles, who are carjacking someone, I mean, how serious of a public safety threat is that? And that we're seeing it happen with more and more frequency.
Well, it's definitely a public safety threat. And as far as carjackings, I mean, I know that we've had them occur before in King County, you know, during my 31-year career, and I get that. It's just, you know, yeah, stolen vehicles, driving erratically, you're endangering, you know, the motoring public. And that's what obviously we've seen.
Are you guys seeing more road rage incidents?
You know, I don't have any you know, numerical or data to prove that. It sure seems like it without going digging deep into the numbers. You know, during the stay at home, during COVID, there is no traffic. And then once traffic started coming back, I think people are getting more frustrated now. No numbers to support this, but I truly believe it's pre-pandemic traffic patterns. So, you know, essentially 405 and I-5, it's hard to find a time when there's not rush hour.
Yeah, and people all bottled up, forgot how to drive, apparently. I don't know if you care to opine on this, but I sure feel like the laws that were passed in 2021 have emboldened some of these people to steal cars, to be able to get away with it. Do you feel like there is a growing sense of lawlessness?
Well, hard to pin it on that, but, you know, obviously we understand the laws change as far as pursuing vehicles, and we have had, you know, more individuals refuse to stop, and obviously there's a couple of things that we could pursue for, and we do, but it's hard to say. I mean, obviously it's something that the legislature is looking at, as well as, you know, I've heard in the media, you know, mayors of certain cities are trying to, you know, figure out what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I'll pin it on that. We'll make you do it. Trooper Rick Johnson, we do appreciate your time, and I just hope all your men and women are safe out there, because it is a crazy time we're living in.
All right. Thank you, Brandy. You have a good afternoon.
Yeah, and I understand why Trooper Johnson, appreciate him coming on, wants to, you know, doesn't want to get political with it. I do. But one of the things I really worry about, I thought there was a lot of momentum for Democrats in Olympia to come back this legislative session in January and fix things. Because there had been so much pressure around the issue of public safety. Governor Inslee finally came out and was like, I don't support police defunding. What would have given you that idea? 2 years after speaking up could have made a difference. And, you know, you saw him over at the Criminal Justice Training Commission trying to help with recruitment efforts. And so part of me worries that was all just pre-midterm lip service. And January is going to be a real test as to whether they meant it. If you care about public safety, fix the pursuit law. And if you don't,
after
then don't.
A couple conversations with family members and some friends since, and small town folks that don't deal with this crime thing every day, mm-hmm. I still don't know that it's getting assigned blame to those people. Obviously, we talk about it a lot. We mm-hmm. see and hear these things a lot.
Who are they assigning blame to?
I don't, like, to the individuals committing the crimes. So
it is their fault too.
Correct. But so I'm wondering if that connection's not being made with as many people as we think it should be making, mm-hmm. you know, connections with. I think I talked to somebody who voted Democrat in the election, and I said, are you not frustrated with that? I was like, maybe it's just not hitting your community mm-hmm. yet. And he goes, yeah, it is. And I said, but you don't blame these people? And he's like, no.
You know, the Dory Monson show can't do all the heavy lifting.
It is rough, man.
The other media organizations need to be honest as well. Dory can only do so much in trying to get the good word out
right.
to people.
But I do think that's where we're at, is it just has to, we have to continue telling people, like, this is why it is the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll see. But I do think, you know, Democrats, you feel that pre-midterm, pre-midterm, pre-big election, is it going to transfer to January? I doubt it, just because I'm never going to give them the benefit right. of the doubt, any elected leaders for that matter. But it is something that I know Dory will be just relentless on in lead up to the January legislative session.
And it's the same with these kids that are walking out today, and they put all of the blame on guns. It's mm. not on these bigger pictures where there's these all these leaders involved in the decisions that are making it more dangerous around the school than it yep. is in the school. And
exactly.
it's getting into the schools.
But. Exactly. Blaming the wrong people or not blaming enough people.
Right, exactly.
There's blame to go around. All right, coming up on the Dory Monson Show, a CBS television show made a startling accusation against Florida Governor Ron DeSantis as part of their plot line. You will not believe it if you haven't heard it yet. It is, Hollywood does a lot of crazy stuff. This is one of the crazier things I've seen. Stick around. Brandi Crews filling in for Dory Monson. Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. Brandi Crews filling in. Tomorrow, Donald Trump still expected to make a big announcement in Mar-a-Lago. I'm assuming that he's going to announce he's running for president again. Although some people said or are speculating that maybe he's going to announce that Don Trump Jr. is running for the presidency.
Oh.
But I don't know. I don't even want to guess. All I know is we're already seeing this beef between him and Ron DeSantis play out, and apparently play out on TV screens as well. This is insane. So there is apparently a show on Paramount Plus, which is owned by CBS Viacom, called The Good Fight. And in it, there was a storyline. And look, I used to watch Law & Order SVU like 10 episodes a day when I was in college. And, you know, they'd have storylines where you're like, that sounds awful familiar. Like they're referring to a real life person or politician, but they give them a fake name. Well, this show, The Good Fight, apparently doesn't use fake names. And they had a scene in the show where a character accused Governor Ron DeSantis, using his name, of sexually assaulting him.
I have 267 days sodomy free.
Can we get to the assault?
Yes. I offered my political services to Governor DeSantis. He saw me in my bicycle short.
I feel the need to just remind you, this is from a TV show on Paramount Plus.
It's worn purely for medical reasons. And he invited me onto his staff. Little did I know what he meant by staff.
Oh, my God.
God. Yes, Diane. That's who I pray to for guidance on this decision, as well as my close friend and mentor, Roger Stone, who informed me that a demonic portal has opened up over the Florida state capitol. I didn't believe him, and I took the job. And this is where it gets more, shall we say, ribald. Ron invited me to CPAC so I could work on his speech. And then, and there, he drugged me and forced me into oral sex.
Do you have any witnesses?
No, I have better.
And apparently he's got a DNA stain from...
I have a stain.
Okay, this is a TV show. You can you do that?
Well,
I mean, so there's a thought now that Ron DeSantis should sue for defamation. Now, I should note later on, I don't know anything about this show or, you know, is it even, that was terrible acting. Like, I didn't even see it. Just listening to it is awful. Later on, it's discovered or revealed in the show that this guy's a liar.
Where did Governor Staples, where did Governor DeSantis assault you?
Where?
Geographically.
CPAC.
Where at CPAC?
In his room.
What room?
You want me to give you the room number?
Yes.
I don't remember.
What floor?
Look, this is getting hostile.
Well, this should be easy. What hotel?
The Sheraton.
Well, unfortunately, the governor changed hotels at the last minute. He was staying at the Hyatt.
Yeah, that one.
Okay. Thanks for your help, Mr. Staples.
Wait, what's wrong? You just tell me what hotel you want it to be.
No, this is the number of Russell Cardin and Associates. Please, go tell them your story.
What are you talking about? Ron DeSantis is going to win unless you use this.
A lie?
Yes, a lie. What does it matter? You want this because you hate DeSantis. I want this because it puts Trump ahead in the polling. Win-win.
Well, this has been a waste of a day.
Okay. So, this is insane to me. I mean, I don't even know. Like I said, you can have some storyline. You see it in shows all the time where you're like, are they talking about this politician? But this CBS Viacom has to be very worried about the implications of this.
Well, obviously they're not very worried or they wouldn't have aired it. But I do think it's another example of them wanting to create this narrative and this bias without, in this case, I think you're saying it. But
I think you have to prove that this was done with malice, right? And then you would have something that's actionable. But I think Ron DeSantis, he seems like the kind of guy who would sue over this. And he should. Even if it's, you know, later corrected in an episode, there's no reason for a plot line that you need to use the name of a real politician who's about to embark on a presidential campaign, who just won re-election for governor. And so that's insane. I mean, what if you had somebody who's just see this clip floating along online and it's got Ron DeSantis accused of engaging, of forcing someone into a man into a sexual encounter and leaving a DNA stain behind? That is wild. All right, coming up after the news, we're going to get to the fastest 15. There's some kids protesting gun violence, Nicole, is that correct, in the city of Seattle shootings? Well, in the fastest 15, let's check in on what those youth have to say. Brandi Crews filling in for Dori Monson.